Hello, Year 11s. We're here for our second instalment of An In Spectacles with your favourite teachers. Hope you enjoy.
Well?
You see? What did I tell you?
What did you tell him?
Inspector, I think Miss Burling ought to be excused any more of this questioning. She's nothing more to tell you. She's had a long, exciting and tiring day. We were celebrating our engagement, you know, and she's obviously had about as much as she can stand. You heard her.
He means that I'm getting hysterical now.
And are you?
Probably.
Well, I don't want to keep you here. I've no more questions to ask you.
No, but you haven't finished asking questions, have you?
No.
You see? Then I'm staying.
Why should you? It's bound to be unpleasant and disturbing.
And you think young women ought to be protected against unpleasant and disturbing things?
If possible, yes.
Well, we know one young woman who wasn't, don't we?
I suppose I'll ask for that.
Be careful you don't ask for any more, Gerald.
I only meant to say to you, why stay when you hate it?
It can't be any worse for me than it has been. And it might be better.
I see.
What do you see?
You've been through it, and now you want to see somebody else put through it.
So that's what you think I'm really like. I'm glad I realised it in time, Gerald.
No, I didn't mean...
Yes, you did. And if you really loved me, you couldn't have said that. You'd listen to that nice story about me. I got that girl sacked from Millwoods, and now you've made up your mind. I must obviously be a selfish, vindictive creature.
I never said that or even suggested it.
Then why say I want to see someone else put through it? That's not what I meant at all.
All right then, I'm sorry.
Yes, but you don't believe me, and this is just the wrong time not to believe me.
Allow me, Miss Burling. Can I tell you why Miss Burling wants to stay on and why she says it might be better for her if she did? A girl died tonight, a pretty, lively sort of girl who never did anybody no harm. But she died in misery and agony, hating life.
Don't please. I know. I can't stop thinking about it.
Now, Miss Burling has just been made to understand what she did to this girl. She feels responsible. And if she leaves us now and doesn't hear any more, then she'll feel that she is entirely to blame. She'll be alone with her responsibility the rest of the night, all tomorrow, all the next night.
Yes, that's it. And I know I'm to blame. I'm desperately sorry. But I can't believe, I won't believe, it's simply my fault that in the end she committed suicide. That would be too horrible.
You see, we have to share something. If there's nothing else, we have to share our guilt.
Yes, that's true. You know. I don't understand about you.
There's no reason why you should.
Good evening, Inspector.
Good evening, madam.
I'm Mrs. Burling, you know. My husband and I just explained why you're here. And while we'll be glad to tell you anything you want to know, I don't think we can help you much.
No, Mother, please.
What's the matter, Sheila?
I know it sounds silly.
What does?
You see, I feel you're beginning all wrong. I'm afraid you'll say something or do something that you'll be sorry for afterwards.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sheila.
We all started like that. So confident. So pleased with ourselves, until he began asking us questions.
You seem to have made a great impression on this child, Inspector.
We often do on the young ones. They're more impressionable.
You're looking tired, dear. I think you ought to go to bed and forget about this absurd business. You feel better in the morning.
Mother, I couldn't possibly go. Nothing could be worse for me. We've settled all that. I'm staying here until I know why that girl killed herself.
Nothing but morbid curiosity.
No, it isn't.
Please don't contradict me like that. In any case, I don't suppose for a moment that we can understand why a girl committed suicide. Girls of that class...
Mother, don't! Please don't. For your own sake, as well as ours, you mustn't.
Mustn't what? Really, Sheila?
You mustn't try to build up a kind of wall between us and that girl. If you do, then the inspector will just break it down and it'll be all the worse when he does.
I don't understand you. Do you?
Yes, and she's right.
I beg your pardon?
I said yes. I do understand her, and she's right.
That, I consider, is a trifle impertinent, Inspector. Now, what is it, Sheila?
I don't know. Perhaps it's because impertinent is such a silly word.
In any case.
But Mother, do stop before it's too late.
If you mean that, the inspector will take offence.
No, no. I never take offence.
I'm glad to hear it. Though I must add that it seems to me that we have more reason for taking offence.
Let's leave offence out of it, shall we?
I think we better.
So do I.
I'm talking to the inspector now, if you don't mind. I realise that you may have to conduct some sort of inquiry, but I must say that for so far you seem to be conducting it in a rather peculiar and offensive manner. You know, of course, that my husband was Lord Mayor only 2 years ago and that he's still a magistrate.
Mrs. Burling, the inspector knows all that, and I don't think it's a very good idea to remind him.
It's crazy. Stop it, please, Mother.
Yes. Now, what about Mr. Burling?
He's coming back in a moment. He's just talking to my son, Eric, who seems to be in an excitable, silly mood.
What's the matter with him?
Eric? Oh, I'm afraid he may have had a rather too much to drink tonight. We have a little celebration here.
Isn't he used to drinking?
No, of course not. He's only a boy.
No, he's a young man. And some young men drink far too much.
And Eric's one of them.
And Eric's one of them.
Sheila?
I don't want to get poor Eric in trouble. He's probably in enough trouble already. But we really must stop these silly pretences. This isn't the time to pretend that Eric isn't used to drink. He's been steadily drinking too much for the last 2 years.
It isn't true you know him, Gerald. You're a man. You know it isn't true.
Well, Mr. Croft.
I'm afraid it is, you know. Actually, I've never seen much of him outside the house, but, well, I have gathered that he does drink pretty hard.
And this is the time you choose to tell me?
Yes, of course it is. That's what I meant when I talked about building up a wall that's sure to be knocked flat. It makes it all the harder to bear.
But it's you, and not the inspector here. Who's doing it?
Yes, but don't you see? He hasn't started on you yet.
If necessary, I shall be glad to answer any questions the inspector wishes to ask me. Though naturally, I don't understand anything about this girl.
We'll see, Mrs. Burling.
I've been trying to persuade Eric to go to bed, but he won't. Now he says you told him to stay up, did you?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I shall want to talk to him, Mr. Burling.
I can't see why you should, but if you must, then I suggest you do it now. Have him in and get it over, then let the lad go.
No, I can't do that yet. I'm sorry, but I have to wait.
Now look here, Inspector.
He must wait his turn.
You see?
No, I don't. And please be quiet, Sheila.
Inspector, I've told you before, I don't like your tone nor the way you're handling this inquiry, and I don't propose to give you much more rope.
You didn't give me any rope.
No, he's giving us rope so that we'll hang ourselves.
What's the matter with this child?
Overexcited, and she refused to go. Well, come along. What is it you want to know?
At the end of January last year, this girl, Eva Smith, had to leave Millwoods because Miss Burling compelled them to discharge her. And then she stopped being Eva Smith looking for a job and became Daisy Renton with other ideas. Mr. Croft, when did you first get to know her?
Where did you get the idea that I did know her?
It's no use, Gerald. You're wasting time.
As soon as I mentioned the name Daisy Renton, it was obvious that you'd known her. You gave yourself away at once.
Of course he did.
And anyhow, I knew already. And where did you first meet her?
All right. If you must have it, I met her first sometime in March last year in the Stalls Bar at the Palace. I mean the Palace Music Hall here in Brumley.
Well, we didn't think you meant Buckingham Palace.
Thanks. You're going to be a great help, I can see. You've said your piece and you're obviously going to hate this, so why on earth do you leave us? Why don't you leave us to it?
Nothing would induce me. I want to understand exactly what happens when a man says he's so busy at the works that he can hardly ever find time to come and see the girl he's supposed to be in love with. I wouldn't miss it for worlds.
Yes, Mr. Croft. In the Stalls Bar at the Palace Variety Theatre.
I happened to look in one night after a rather long, dull day, and as the show wasn't very bright, I went down into the bar for a drink. It's a favourite haunt of women of the town.
Women of the town.
Yes, yes, but I see no point in mentioning the subject, especially...
It would be much better if Sheila didn't listen to this story at all.
But you're forgetting. I'm supposed to be engaged to the hero of it. Go on, Gerald. You went down to the bar, which is a favourite haunt of women of the town.
I'm glad I amuse you.
Come along, Mr. Croft. What happened?
I didn't propose to stay long down there. I hate those hard-eyed, dough-faced women. But then I noticed a girl who looked quite different. She was pretty. Soft brown hair and big dark brown eyes. My God.
What's the matter?
Sorry, I've suddenly realised, taking it in properly, that she's dead.
Yes, she's dead.
And probably between us, we killed her.
Sheila, don't talk nonsense.
You wait, Mother.
Go on.
She looked young and fresh and charming and altogether out of place down there. And she obviously wasn't enjoying herself. Old Joe Megarty, half drunk and goggle-eyed, had wedged her into a corner with that obscene fat carcass of his.
There's no need to be disgusting, and surely you don't mean Alderman Megarty.
Of course I do. He's a notorious womaniser, as well as being one of the worst sots and rogues in Bromley.
Quite right.
Well, really, Alderman Megarty, I must say, we are learning something tonight.
Of course we are. But everyone knows that about that horrible old Megarty. A girl I know had to see him at the town hall one afternoon, and she only escaped with torn blouse.
Sheila,
go on, please.
The girl saw me looking at her and then gave me a glance that was nothing less than a cry for help. So I went across and told Joe Megarty some nonsense, that the manager had a message for him or something like that. Got him out of the way, and then told the girl that if she didn't want any more of that sort of thing, she'd better let me take her out of there. She agreed at once.
Where did you go?
We went along to the county hotel, which I knew would be quiet at that time of night, and we had a drink or two and talked.
Did you drink much at that time?
No, she only had a port and lemonade or some such concoction. All she wanted to do was talk. A little friendliness, and I gathered that Joe Megarty's advances had left her rather shaken, as well they might.
She talked about herself?
Yes. I asked her questions about herself. She told me her name was Daisy Renton and that she'd lost both parents, that she originally came from somewhere outside Bromley. She also told me she'd had a job in one of those works here and had to leave after a strike. She said something about the shop too, but wouldn't say which it was, and she was deliberately vague about what happened. I couldn't get any exact details from her about her past life. She wanted to talk about herself, just because she felt I was interested and friendly. But at the same time, she wanted to be Daisy Renton, not Eva Smith. In fact, I heard that name for the first time tonight. What she did let slip, though she didn't mean to, was that she was desperately hard up at that moment and was actually hungry. I made the people at the county find some food for her.
And then you decided to keep her as your mistress?
What?
Of course, Mother. It was obvious from the start. Go on, Gerald. Don't mind Mother.
I discovered, not that night, but two nights later, when we met again, not accidentally this time, of course, that in fact she hadn't a penny and was going to be turned out of the miserable back room she had. It happened that a friend of mine, Charlie Brunswick, had gone off to Canada for 6 months and had let me have the key of his nice little set of rooms he'd had in Morgan Terrace, and he asked me to keep an eye on them for him and use them if I wanted to. So I insisted on Daisy moving into those rooms and I made her take some money to keep her going. I want you to understand that I didn't install her there so that I could make love to her. I made her go to Morgan Terrace because I was sorry for her and I didn't like the idea of her going back to the Palace Bar. I didn't ask for anything in return.
I see.
Yes, but why are you saying that to him? You ought to be saying it to me.
I suppose I ought to, really. I'm sorry, Sheila. Somehow I
know. Somehow he makes you.
But she became your mistress.
Yes, I suppose it was inevitable. She was young and pretty and warm-hearted and intensely grateful. I became at once the most important person in her life. You understand?
Yes, she was a woman. She was lonely. Were you in love with her?
Just what I was going to ask.
I really must protest.
Why should you do any protesting? It was you who turned the girl out in the first place.
Well, I only did what the employer might have done. And what I was going to say was that I protest against the way in which my daughter, a young unmarried girl, is being dragged into this.
Your daughter isn't living on the moon. She's here in Bromley too.
Yes, and it was I who had the girl turned out of her job at Millwoods. And I'm supposed to be engaged to Gerald. And I'm not a child, don't forget. I've a right to know. Were you in love with her, Gerald?
It's hard to say. I didn't feel about her as she felt about me.
Of course not. You were the wonderful fairy prince. You must have adored it, Gerald.
All right. I did for a time. Nearly any man would have done.
That's probably the best thing you've said tonight. At least it's honest. Did you go and see her every night?
No. I wasn't telling you a complete lie when I said I'd been very busy at the works all that time. We were very busy, but of course I did see a good deal of her.
I don't think we want any further details of this disgusting affair.
I do. And anyhow, we haven't had any details yet.
And you're not going to have any. You know it wasn't disgusting.
It's disgusting to me.
Yes, but after all, you didn't come into this, did you, Mother?
Is there anything else you want to know that you ought to know?
Yes. When did this affair end?
I can tell you exactly. In the first week of September. I had to go away for several weeks then, on business. And by that time, Daisy knew it was coming to an end. So I broke it off definitely before I went.
And how did she take it?
Better than I'd hoped. She was very gallant about it.
Oh, that was nice for you.
No, it wasn't. She told me she'd been happier than she'd ever been before, but that she knew it couldn't last, hadn't expected it to last. She didn't blame me at all. I wish to God she had now. Perhaps I'd feel better about it.
She had to move out of those rooms?
Yes, we agreed about that. She'd saved a little money during the summer.
Girl?
She'd lived very economically on what I'd allowed her and didn't want to take any more from me, but I insisted on a parting gift of enough money that it wasn't so very much to see her through to the end of the year.
Did she tell you what she'd proposed to do after you'd left her?
No, she refused to talk about that. I got the idea once or twice from what she said that she thought of leaving Bromley. Whether she did or not, I don't know. Did she?
Yes. She went away for about 2 months to some seaside place.
By herself?
Yes. I think she went away to be alone, to be quiet, to remember all that had happened between you.
How do you know that?
She kept a rough sort of diary, and she said there had been, that she'd gone, had to go away to be quiet and to remember, just to make it last longer. She felt there'd never been anything as good again for her, so she had to make it last longer.
I see. Well, I never saw her again, and that's all I can tell you.
It's all I want to know from you.
In that case, as I'm rather more upset by this business than I probably appear to be, and, well, I'd like to be alone for a little while, I'll be glad if you'd let me go.
Go where? Home?
No, just go out, walk about for a while, if you don't mind. I'll come back.
All right, Mr. Croft.
But just in case you forget, or decide not to come back, Gerald, I think you better take this with you.
I see. Well, I was expecting this.
I don't dislike you as I did half an hour ago, Gerald. In fact, in some odd way, I respect you more than I've ever done before. I knew, anyhow, you were lying about those months last year when you hardly came near me. I knew there was something fishy about that time. And now at least you've been honest. And I believe what you told us about the way you helped her at first, just out of pity. It was my fault, really, that she was so desperate when you first met her. But this has made a difference. You and I aren't the same people who sat down to dinner here. We'd have to start all over again, get to know each other.
Now, Sheila, I'm not defending him, but you must understand that a lot of young men...
Don't interfere, please, Father. Gerald knows what I mean. And you apparently don't.
Yes, I know what you mean. But I am coming back, if I may.
All right.
Well, really, I don't know. I think we've just about come to an end of this wretched business.
I don't think so. Excuse me.
You know, you never showed him that photograph of her.
No, wasn't necessary. And I thought it better not to.
You have a photograph of this girl?
Yes. I think you'd better look at it.
I don't see any particular reason why I should.
Probably not, but you'd better look at it.
Very well.
Do you recognise her?
No. Why should I?
Of course, she might have changed lately, but I can't believe she would have changed so much.
I don't understand you, Inspector.
You mean you don't choose to, do you, Mrs. Burling?
I meant what I said.
You're not telling me the truth.
I beg your pardon.
Look here, I'm not going to have this Inspector. You'll apologise at once.
Apologise for what? Doing my duty?
No, for being so offensive about it. I'm a public man.
Public men, Mr. Burling, have responsibilities as well as privileges.
Possibly, but you weren't asked to come here to talk to me about my responsibilities.
Let's hope not, though I'm beginning to wonder.
Does that mean anything, Sheila?
It means that we've got no excuse now for putting on airs and that if we've any sense, we won't try. Father threw this girl out because she asked for decent wages, and I went and pushed her out further, right into the street, just because I was angry and she was pretty. Gerald set her up as his mistress and then dropped her when it suited him, and now you're pretending you don't recognise her from the photograph. I admit I don't know why you should, but I know jolly well that you did, in fact, recognise her from the way you looked. And if you're not telling the truth, why should the inspector apologise? And can't you see... Both of you, you're making it worse.
That was the door again.
Gerard must have come back.
Unless your son's just gone out.
I'll see.
Mrs. Burling, you're a member, a prominent member, of the Brumley Women's Charity Organisation, are you not?
Go on, Mother, you might as well admit it. Yes, she is. Why?
It's an organisation to which women in distress can appeal for help in various forms. Isn't that so?
Yes, we've done a great deal of this useful work in helping deserving cases.
There was a meeting of the interviewing committee 2 weeks ago?
I dare say there was.
You know very well there was, Mrs. Burling. You were the chair.
And if I was, what business is that of yours?
Do you want me to tell you in plain words?
That must have been Eric.
Have you been up to his room?
Yes, and I called out on boat landings. It must have been Eric we heard go out then.
Silly boy. Where can he have gone to?
I can't imagine, but he was in one of his excitable queer moods, and even though we don't need him here...
We do need him here, and if he's not back soon, I shall have to go and find him.
He's probably just gone off to cool off. He'll be back soon.
I hope so.
And why should you hope so?
I'll explain why when you've answered my questions, Mrs. Burling.
Is there any reason why my wife should answer questions from you, Inspector?
Yes, a very good reason. You'll remember that Mr. Croft told us, quite truthfully I believe, that he hadn't spoken to or seen Eva Smith since last September. But Mrs. Burling spoke to and saw her only 2 weeks ago.
Mother!
Is this true?
Yes, quite true.
She appealed to your organisation for help?
Yes.
But not as Eva Smith?
No. Nor as Daisy Renton.
As what, then?
Firstly, she called herself Mrs. Burling.
Mrs. Burling?
Yes. I think it was simply a piece of gross impertinence, quite deliberate, and naturally that was one of the things that prejudiced me against her case.
And I should think so. Damned impertinence.
You admit being prejudiced against her case?
Yes.
Mother, she's just died a horrible death, don't forget.
I'm very sorry, but I think she had only herself to blame.
Was it owing to your influence, as the most prominent member of the committee, that help was refused the girl?
Possibly.
Was it, or was it not, your influence?
Yes, it was. I didn't like her manner. She impertinently made use of our name, though she pretended afterwards it just happened to be the first she thought of. She had to admit, after I began questioning her, that she had no claim to the name, that she wasn't married, and that the story she told at first about her husband who deserted her was quite false. It didn't take me long to get the truth out of some of the truth out of her.
Why did she want help?
You know very well why she wanted help.
No, I don't. I know why she needed help, but as I wasn't there, I don't know what she asked from me for your committee.
I don't think we need to discuss it.
You have no hope of not discussing it, Mrs. Burling.
If you think you can bring any pressure to bear upon me, Inspector, you're quite mistaken. Unlike the other three, I did nothing I'm ashamed of, or that won't bear investigation. The girl asked for assistance. We are asked to look carefully into claims made upon us. I wasn't satisfied with the girl's claims. This seemed to be not a good case. And so I used my influence to have it refused. And in spite of what's happened to the girl since, I consider it to be my duty. So if I prefer not to discuss any further, you have no power to make me change my mind.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't. Simply because I've done nothing wrong. You know it.
I think you did something terribly wrong, and that you're going to spend the rest of your life regretting it. I wish you'd been with me tonight in the infirmary. You'd have seen...
No, please, not that again. I've imagined it enough already.
Then the next time you remember it, just remember that this girl was going to have a child.
No. Oh, horrible. Horrible. How could she have wanted to kill herself?
Because she'd been turned out and turned down too many times. This was the end.
Mother, you must have known.
It was because she was going to have a child that she went for assistance to your mother's committee.
Look here. This wasn't Gerald Croft.
No. Nothing to do with him.
Thank goodness for that. Though I don't know why I should care now.
And you've nothing further to tell me, eh?
I'll tell you what I told you, her. Go and look for the father of the child. It's his responsibility.
That doesn't make it any less yours. She came to you for help at a time when no woman could have needed it more. And you not only refused it yourself, but saw to it that the others refused it too. She was here alone, friendless, almost penniless, desperate. She needed not money, but advice, sympathy, friendliness. You've had children. You must have known what she was feeling, and you slammed the door in her face.
Mother, I think it was cruel and vile.
I must say, Sybil, that when this comes out at the inquest, it isn't going to do us much good. The press might easily take it up.
Oh, stop it, both of you. And please remember, before you start accusing me of anything again that it wasn't I who had her turned out of employment, which probably began it all. In the circumstances, I think I was justified. The girl had begun by telling us a pack of lies. Afterwards, when I got at the truth, I discovered that she knew who the father was. She was quite certain about that. And so I told her it was her business to make him responsible. If he refused to marry her, and in my opinion, he ought to be compelled to, then he must at least support her.
And what did she reply to that?
Oh, a lot of silly nonsense.
What was it?
Whatever it was, I know it made me finally lose all the patience with her. She was giving herself ridiculous airs. She was claiming elaborate fine feelings and scruples that were simply absurd in a girl in her position.
Her position now is that she lies in a burnt-out inside on a slab. Don't stammer and yammer at me again, man. I'm losing all patience with you people. What did she say?
She said that the father was only a youngster. Silly and wild and drinking too much. There couldn't be any questions of marrying him. It would be wrong for them both. He had given her money, but she didn't want to take any more money from him.
Why didn't she want to take any more money from him?
All a lot of nonsense. I didn't believe a word of it.
I'm not asking you if you believed it. I want to know what she said. Why didn't she want to take any more money from this boy?
Oh, she had some fancy reason, as if a girl of that sort would ever refuse money.
I warn you, you're making it worse for yourself. What reason did she give for not taking any more money?
Her story was that he had said something one night when he was drunk that gave her the idea that it wasn't his money.
Where had he got it from then?
He'd stolen it.
So she'd come to you for assistance because she didn't want to take stolen money.
That's the story she finally told. After I'd refused to believe her original story, that she was a married woman who'd been deserted by her husband, I didn't see any reason to believe that one story should be any truer than the other. Therefore, you're quite wrong to suppose I should regret what I did.
But if her story was true, if this boy had been giving her stolen money, then she came to you for help because she wanted to keep this youngster out of any more trouble. Isn't that so?
Possibly, but it sounded ridiculous to me. so I was perfectly justified in advising my committee not to allow her claim for assistance.
You're not even sorry now, when you know what happened to the girl.
I'm sorry, she should have come to such a horrible end, but I expect no blame for it at all.
Who is to blame then?
First, the girl herself.
For letting father and me have her chucked out of her jobs.
Secondly, I blame the young man who was the father of the child she was going to have. If, as she said, he didn't belong to a class and was some drunken young idler, then that's all more the reason why he shouldn't escape. He should be made an example of. If the girl's death is due to anybody, then it's due to him.
And if her story is true, that he was stealing the money...
There's no point in assuming that.
But suppose we do. What then?
Then he'll be entirely responsible. Because the girl wouldn't have come to us and would have been refused assistance if it hadn't been for him.
So he's the chief culprit anyhow?
Certainly. He ought to be dealt with very severely.
Mother, stop. Stop.
Be quiet, Sheila.
But don't you see?
You're behaving like a hysterical child tonight. And if you take some steps to find this young man and then make sure he's compelled to confess in public his responsibility, instead of staying here asking quite unnecessary questions, then you really would be doing your duty.
Don't worry, Mrs. Burling. I shall do my duty.
I'm glad to hear it.
No hushing up, eh? Make an example of the young man, eh? Public confession of responsibility, eh?
Certainly. I consider it your duty. And now, no doubt, you'd like to say goodnight.
Not yet.
Wait for what?
To do my duty.
Now, Mother, don't you see?
But surely, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Look, Inspector, you're not trying to tell us that my boy is mixed up in this?
If he is, then we know what to do, don't we? Mrs. Burling has just told us.
My God, but look here.
I don't believe it. I won't believe it.
Mother, I begged you and begged you to stop. This is the end of Act 2.
Oh, I like that one.